Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody's having a wonderful Wednesday today. Have a lot of articles I've got together here for you. Dad is basically his signal and his connection was not where it needed to be today, so he's going to take off. So I'm going to run the show for you guys, but do not worry. We got a ton of stuff to talk about, so it's going to be a great show. Got it prepped for you guys. The first thing I wanted to discuss, and this is something I get emailed about all the time, is D3. And a lot of people always email me about our D3 10,000 with K2. And they say, hey, is this too much D3 to take on a regular basis? Again, I always tell people it's good if you're concerned about that to get blood levels checked. But generally, most full-size adults can take one a day to one every other day and keep D3 levels in great range. Well, now a new study has just been released. It's really providing valuable information on how much vitamin D you can take in order to reach optimal levels without blood work. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't get blood work. If you're taking high amounts of D3, it's always good to still test for blood work occasionally, at least once or twice a year. But this is kind of bringing it down to a more normal level so we can really see this research study. You hear people, doctors, say anywhere from 4,000 IUs a day to 5,000 IUs a day to 10,000 IUs a day. Some places in Europe say you can't buy more than 400 IU a day capsules. Well, a year-long study now that was published and is basically helping to clarify the matter involved 3,882 participants with an average age of 60. So it went through and 27% of the people were obese, 37% of the people were overweight, 35% of the people had normal BMI, and around 1% were underweight. Pretty similar to the breakdown of the general population. The participants were told to take D3 cholecalciferol, which is basically a natural form of it, the same produced by your body in response to sunshine. The average dose of vitamin D increased throughout the year from 2,100 IUs all the way up to about 6,800 IUs towards the end of the year. The participants' average vitamin D level increased from 38 on average nanograms per milliliter to 50.4 nanograms per milliliter by the end of the year. Now, under 20 nanograms per milliliter is considered deficient, significantly deficient. Levels of 50 nanograms per milliliter to 80, in my opinion, are considered optimal in a lot of other professional opinions, but they say at least a healthy level is 40 or above. But again, like I said, 50 to 80. When I've checked mine, I usually stay in the 60 to 70 mark on average from my dosage that I take, and it works fine. And I take usually a 10,000 IU every day. A lot of times on the weekends, if I'm gone, I won't take them for a day or two during the week. And so that kind of keeps them at a good level. My body weight right now is about 190. So the researchers found, though, the changes in level did depend on dosage, body mass index, and vitamin D levels at the beginning of the study. For example, they found that as the body weight rose, response to vitamin D became less, obviously. And so they also found that people that had vitamin D deficiencies experienced greater increase in vitamin D levels than those who had sufficient levels. Researchers were also able to determine which dosages were effective for increasing levels. People with normal body mass index needed around 6,000 IUs of D3 a day to reach levels of 40 nanograms per milliliter. Overweight individuals needed 7,000 IUs a day to reach the same level, while obese participants needed 8,000 IUs a day to reach the 40 nanogram per milliliter level. The team also noted that they saw no evidence of side effects or vitamin D toxicity symptoms whatsoever. So these guys are saying that overweight individuals and obese individuals were taking 7,000 to 8,000 IUs a day, and that got them roughly to the 40 nanogram per milliliter level. If you're trying to get your D3 in the optimal level, in my opinion, which is around 60 to 70, then you need to be taking a higher dose. hence the 10,000 IUs. Even people with a normal body mass index on here, as I said a minute ago, were taking 6,000 IUs a day just to get to the normal levels of 40 nanograms per milliliter. Now, the biggest reason why we run the K2 is to prevent any type of calcium buildup or excessive calcium in the blood. So that's why we stack that with the 10,000. So I hope this kind of answers the question, because a lot of people say 10,000 sounds so high. I don't want to take that. That's too much of a dosage. Quite the contrary, as you see right now, that this research study proved that anywhere from 6 to 10,000 IUs a day is pretty much within some type of normal body mass index. You're going to be probably somewhere right around the 60 to 70 nanogram per milliliter mark, which in my opinion is about as perfect as you want to get. So I figured I'd start off with that today and just, you know, kind of give everybody a heads up, because I get a lot of emails on that question. Also, too, wanted to give a shout out to Joy Camp. She's a regular customer of ours. She actually called in today and did a radio show support donation, the biggest donation we've ever got, which was a real blessing to us. You know, it definitely helped out, especially this month during the summer. We're kind of slow, and anytime we get support like that to keep the radio show going and help us subsidize at least part of the cost to keep it rolling every month, it's a really, really big blessing to us. So thank you, Joy, and thank you to everybody else that gives in occasionally. Even as Dad always says, even if you're just buying your bottle of Ultimate multiple from us instead of buying the Chinese garbage from GNC or Walmart, you're going to get better benefits from us, and it helps us out just by you guys buying a bottle of multiple. So we thank you, and we appreciate that. Also, to another news in Arkansas, this was kind of creepy, bit sad also, but the Arkansas Ten Commandments Monument was destroyed by somebody driving a vehicle into it less than 24 hours after the monument was placed at the state capitol grounds. Pretty sad. Secretary of State's office spokesman Chris Powell said Capitol Police arrested the male suspect early Wednesday. The stone monument had been hit and fell to the ground and broke into pieces, which is quite odd, actually, especially when you read the Old Testament and you're seeing that happen here. The privately funded monument was 6 feet tall and weighed 6,000 pounds. It was installed Tuesday morning on the southwest lawn of the Capitol with pretty much no advance notice. Didn't have a huge amount of fanfare. Some people went out there and watched it and were excited, and that was about it. They said that no taxpayer dollars were spent on the monument. Instead, funds were donated by individuals around the country through a GoFundMe account that they started. It's a really, really good-looking Ten Commandment block, 6 feet tall, big. So for this to happen just kind of shows you the level of depravity and anger that a lot of people are starting to exhibit now in this country. The fact that you'd run into the Ten Commandments on the Capitol grounds, nonetheless, a day after, not even 24 hours after it's been mounted up and put there, is pretty sad. But again, like I said, it just kind of shows you of what's going on. Also, too, my brother sent me the link to it today, and it's pretty weird as far as the YouTube keeps pushing this on a regular basis. Basically, what happened is they started another gay pride video that they wanted to promote on YouTube, which is pretty irritating because they're constantly doing this on a regular basis and trying to shove it down everybody's throat. The Proud to Be Gay video that they did again has already had like 4 million views, but it's got almost 200,000 dislikes with barely 100,000 likes, so it's split almost 2-for-1. The issue that I have with this is what they're constantly trying to do is barrage us with this whole gay, transgender, bisexual, whatever lifestyle. If you want to engage in that type of behavior, that's your choice. This is America. You can do what you want. The issue that I have with this is the hypocrisy that we're constantly seeing with it. I like to say straight pride. I have heterosexual pride. I'm a male that is happily married and heterosexual. If you say that, though, you immediately are labeled basically a neo-Nazi homophobe. If you walk around and say, wear a shirt that says straight pride, I'm proud to be straight. straight, all of a sudden you will get unbelievably ridiculed by the gay community. They will pitch a fit and do everything they can to try and get you thrown out or pushed away from any situation or any event you're at. These guys, on the other hand, want to promote this stuff and force us to watch it on a regular basis. And then you have these unbelievably liberal companies like Google and YouTube that are actually producing these films and putting them up there. And as it shows you, almost 200,000 dislikes with 100,000 likes, it's going to show you people are absolutely sick of this gay propaganda. Again, I said before, if you want to live that lifestyle, that's your choice. Don't force me and my family to watch it. I have a 14-month-old son, and I'm very funny about him not watching much on television at all, especially the internet. I don't want to start that at this young of an age. He's going to be exposed to it enough as he gets older, but the amount of just really, really bizarre stuff that they keep pushing on us, I don't need to put that filth in his head. He doesn't need to see that. And when these films like this go out on YouTube and they put them on the front page of YouTube to try and promote them as grossly as possible, it's very irritating to me, because if we produced a straight pride video and we were proud to be straight, it would be eviscerated on there. They would probably pull it down and say it's basically a hate video and say it doesn't follow community guidelines. That's the hypocrisy that irritates me with all this. But that was just something that I just saw today, and I wanted to kind of touch base on. Speaking of hypocrisy as well today, I told you guys I was going to keep you posted on the Peruta versus California case with the Ninth Circuit Court ruling. Quick background, this you guys don't remember. This individual basically went to court over the fact that California was restricting him from being able to carry a concealed loaded handgun on his person legally. Well, it went to the Supreme Court, supposedly. The sad part is, though, the Supreme Court now today ruled they refused to take the Peruta versus California case, leaving the Ninth Circuit Court ruling in place. Essentially, the Supreme Court declared that it is permissible for states like California to block residences from carrying legally loaded concealed firearms in public. The Trump administration has been actively pressuring Congress to take it up to the presidential agenda. One of those issues is concealed carry reciprocity. If Representative Hudson's Concealed Carry Reciprocity Act of 2017 became law, it would allow Americans to carry firearms in every single state in the country, even if their home state refused to issue them a permit. Here's the thing about this. You guys always know that I'm very for states' rights. However, the federal government likes to intrude on our states' rights all the time. This is so hypocritical with a lot of other things we see, it's nauseating. It's almost funny in a sense, because the federal government hypocrisy knows no limits. The Supreme Court now is refusing to look at this case, or refusing to back the Second Amendment on top of that, and saying California has the right to make their own gun laws, even though the Second Amendment is very, very clear about violating an individual's rights to keep and bear arms. For an example, though, the hypocrisy that shows this, with a constitutional-based right like the Second Amendment, it won't be upheld at all, and it's forced upon the states that if they decide illegally to ban legal carry, that's okay. The states ruled that, they without any vote, but the states ruled it. So the federal government says, we're not getting involved in it. That's the states' rights. If they don't want people to allow concealed carry legally, we can't force them to do anything about it, even though it violates the Second Amendment. Yet, when a state votes, the people of the state vote by majority for something as basic of an example and as easy to see as everybody does, is medicinal cannabis or even CBD oil, and allowing it in their state to be able to use legally for medicinal purposes, big government and the DEA comes in, raids businesses, arrests people, raids homes, raids grow houses, and says, we declare it's an illegal Schedule I compound federally. If you possess this drug, you're going to jail. Wait a minute, the Supreme Court just said we're giving California the right to completely block the Second Amendment and violate that constitutional right because it's the state rights to do so. But yet we're going to come back and say, if they say they want medicinal cannabis, it doesn't matter. Cannabis is a Scheduled I compound banned by the federal government, so we're going to uphold that, and we're going to go in and raid that state for violating federal law. you can't have it both ways, and that's the example, the hypocrisy that I'm talking about right now. This is a perfect example of how the courts have gotten completely controlled by a lot of the globalists and a lot of the upper-ranking members of the college communities, these university committees like Yale, and they're continuing to do everything they can to strip our rights from this country, and that is one thing that we have to continue to fight as much as possible. I feel sorry for a lot of people in California. It's a really, really pretty state. It's a great state. Debt-wise, they're in debt up to their eyeballs, because again, you see what happens with that kind of state when you allow them to run amok. And as far as gun rights, it's a nightmare in that state. It really is. And speaking as far as debt, another topic that I brought up a week and a half ago is Illinois. And Illinois is starting to hit a serious issue, because on Friday, now I've seen this article a couple different places on this topic, and some people have told me they think it's obfuscation, what's really going on. I don't think it's obfuscation. I think this is one of the first steps in allowing the states to dissolve themselves and having the federal government come in and either bail them out or have them allow them to file bankruptcy in an attempt to completely break apart the United States because of insolvency. That's what I think is happening here. Governor Bruce Rauner and his legislature in Springfield said if they do not put together a budget by Friday, which is June 30th, I talked about this 2 weeks ago, it will be the first state in the union to see a debt plunge into junk bond status. Illinois has $14.5 billion in overdue bills and $130 billion in unfunded pension obligations and no budget. Rauner said, we can't manage our money. We're like a banana republic. If Illinois is trying to file bankruptcy, it's literally going to take an act of Congress, because the states apparently can't legally file bankruptcy without Congress approving so. So this is something that I've been wanting to watch and see how it plays out, because I think if this starts to go the way that we think it's going to go, it's going to be one of the first steps, like I said, in the federal government coming in and either bailing out the state, which I don't know what type of implications that is going to detail, unless they're going to sit there and sell the debt that they bail them out from, that they buy out basically from Illinois and sell it to China or some type of other deviant behavior like that. It wouldn't surprise me. But this is very significant, so we really have to keep an eye on this. And this is why it's so important, guys, to at your local levels, in your local cities, your local counties, make sure if you have the opportunity to vote on stuff, you do. And you question stuff that you don't agree with, because that's our right to be able to do so. When you start having states like this that just run amok, that won't put a budget together for 3 years because of the liberal agenda that's fighting in there, people need to get voted out. This does not need to keep happening. This can't keep happening. And this exactly what the globalists want to do. They want to divide and conquer. If they can come in and disrupt all the transit, all the states' rights, all the different things we're trying to do on a local level, they'll have much more leverage at coming in and controlling the rest of the states because of this, as an example. So it's definitely something to keep an eye out on. Also, too, the Obamacare. Rand Paul's not at all about the new Obamacare repeal. Apparently, this new Obamacare replacement, whatever they're wanting to call it, it doesn't matter. It's pretty much the same thing. I've been reading over it the last couple days. It's pretty much to continue to funnel money into the insurance companies, and it's continue to control the medical model so they can get the government involved in every aspect of your medical life, as we talked about before. Now it looks like in New Mexico, they're pushing, next year they're going to be pushing an 80% premium increase. They're saying that a little over 2 million people reside in the state of New Mexico, but as reported by healthinsurance.org, there have been a near 54,000 people enrolled in coverage through the New Mexico Exchange during the 2017 open enrollment period for health insurance. The number of insurance offering individual market plans statewide are limited to only 4 out of the whole state. The New Mexico Obamacare premium, which on average right now is $366 per month before the subsidies kick in, is going to go up as much as 80%. Other 34 states using federally facilitated exchanges provide policies with an average monthly premium of $475 before the subsidy. They're looking to go up too. So we're talking anywhere around these states is going to be averaging somewhere between $500 to $650 a month for premiums. this is out of control. This isn't feasible at all. Now you're starting to get into the realm of buying a $40,000-$50,000 car and financing it. Honestly, that's where we're getting to the point now. Every month, that's what your payments are going to be, just to have health insurance. And I told you guys before, you know, there's a lot of different options around there around it. You know, last year when I was hammering the caffeine and getting ready for a show and basically had a lot of issues going on as far as with my heart, and I had to go to the hospital for pericarditis, and I healed up from that pretty fast. My hospital bill was like in the mid-40s, I think around $46,000 or whatever. And I essentially called up every person that was involved, all the blood sample companies that were involved, the hospital, everybody that basically gave me service here at the hospital, was able to negotiate them down on average between about 50 to 80% from what the retail bill was. So my average bill ended up coming down, I think totaled out to like $11,000. And then what I did was I just made payments on it over the next couple months and continued to pay it down over the next year. And quite frankly, when you do the math on it, my insurance premium, the cheapest insurance I can get down here in Florida, is about $350 a month with about a $5,000 premium. So if you're looking at, on average, $3,600 a year, then a $5,000 premium, you're looking at almost $9,000 in 1 year if something occurs. Well, the insurance bill was 11 grand, and I haven't had health insurance since I was, I don't even remember, 18, when I dropped off dad's plan and I moved out. So that's been the last 10 years that I haven't had health insurance. So as far as I'm concerned, there's a lot of other ways around that. Now, if you have some type of catastrophic event or significant health situation with your family, then you may want to look into having health insurance. Everybody's person specific, but that's just my personal preference on it. There's a lot of ways around that instead of paying these astronomical premiums and deductibles that they're setting aside all the time now. Now, I had a couple people email me about this, and I've been looking at it since Sunday. But apparently there was another, it looks like at the beginning of the month, the end of last month, there were another 238 people arrested in suspicion of child sex predators, all the way from a monk from Riverside and an Australian man. This was all in Southern California. This was Operation Broken Heart 3, which targeted offenders wanted for sexual exploitation, of children and child prostitution and sex tourism. Deputy Chief Matt Blake of the Los Angeles Police Department confirmed among those arrested during the sweeps were entertainers in Hollywood, community leaders, white-collar professionals, and clergy members, said John Reynolds, acting special agent in charge of U.S. Department of Homeland Security investigations. He said the incident of child sexual exploitation has reached staggering proportions. This is all starting to dig down into the Hollywood sex ring that we've seen, you know, Corey Feldman brought about, Elijah Wood brought about. A lot of these guys have talked about this now and come out about it because they can't take it anymore on what happens over there in that very dark, perverted part of the United States. Remember, everything about Hollywood has very, very sinister, almost, you know, witch-like satanic basis to it, even down to the name Hollywood, which is the name of the wood from the tree. The Hollywood is what the witches used to get their magic wands out of. That's what they used to, the wood they used to use. A lot of weird stuff going on over there. But I wanted to bring that up and say that at least these guys are starting to get busted. These guys have absolutely no business being in society doing this sick, perverted stuff to little children. And as far as I'm concerned, every single one of them either needs to get life in prison or they need to get the death penalty. If you have been convicted beyond a reasonable doubt of being involved in this type of very, very sick behavior, there's no excuse for that whatsoever. Not doing that to little children. Not at all. None. And so for these guys to get busted about it, it's awesome. I hope it continues on a monthly basis. I hope we can clean out some of Hollywood, and I really hope we can clean out Congress and the Senate if any of those guys are involved in it that are basically getting busted. I know I've heard a lot of rumors of guys up there, but again, I don't have any substantial proof, but we really need to clean this country out because that's a very, very perverted behavior that needs to go and basically go to jail. There's no business being in society like that. Also, too, in other news, this is pretty wild because this has been on a total media blackout. I saw an article on it today from Sputnik International, and I also saw the article that the Common Sense Show did today with Dave Hodges. And this is pretty wild because there's been no media coverage about this whatsoever. The only thing CNN wants to talk about is how Trump's colluding with Russia. I think, 16,000 times now they've brought it up. They did a report on it today. 16,000 times they've brought it up about Trump colluding with Russia over the last 7 months since the November election. But this is going on with China and India. Apparently, a major firefight has started now along the India-China border as Chinese troops have entered the India state of Sikkim and destroyed two Indian bunkers. Chinese troops also engaged with firefights with Indian troops who are guarding the border at their location. They said ever since newly appointed Indian Chief Bipin Rawat took charge, India has expedited work related to building movable modern bunkers along the border shared with China. Sputnik reported in January this year that the Indian Army was using hollow block structures for building hundreds of bunkers near Sikkim. And so what it looks like is there has been a face-off in the area of Sikkim for the last 10 days. Even Chinese troops have been stopping pilgrims from proceeding into the Kailash Yantra province. And apparently this has been going on now for a little bit of time, about the last 2 weeks. And this is a significant issue. And Dave Hodges brought it up, and he hit it pretty succinctly. You guys know India and Pakistan are pretty big enemies, and if India is now attacked by Pakistan, if they come in with this with China, this is going to be a serious issue. But not only that, guys, remember, there's something more underlying going on to this, because the BRIC nations have previously established the existence of a gold-based currency, which completely goes against the central banks. Now, the BRICS, if you guys... The BRICS are Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, and a couple other affiliate nations, but those are the main ones. The BRICS have gone in multiple times and said, we're going to start trading in gold, we're going to start trading in just straight oil, we're going to cut out the petrodollar. The Western banks have wanted war with Russia and any other BRIC nation that is going to essentially go against them and is going to devalue their control over the petrodollar and the central reserve banks. Now, Sal, if India goes to war with China, then the BRICS will lose a lot of unity, because you've got two major players that are basically going to be in a significant fight and facing off against each other. This could make an issue with the Middle East, in Syria, with Iran, with Russia. All this stuff could become significantly more heated. And essentially, too, the Middle East of the Chinese, because of the Chinese-India border concerns in China's case, its obsession with dominating the South China Sea. So the Indians pledged support to the United States in its effort to keep the South China Sea open, free to commerce. This will represent a potential breakup of the BRICS and support the New World Order. So you got China hacked off at India now. India supporting opening the South China Sea, which China's claiming is all theirs, but India wants to allow use for commerce and supports the United States with that, where the Chinese have come in and said the United States isn't allowed in their area over there. This whole thing's colluding, and there's a whole lot of other stuff, in my opinion, under the surface of it that we're not seeing, that's intentionally trying to get escalated to dissolve the BRICS, because the gold-backed reserve currency of the BRICS that they're trying to establish over the next couple years is not something the Federal Reserve will ever, in my opinion, will ever allow to happen without a significant fight or world war. Because once you start having large countries, major superpowers like Russia, China, India, Brazil, start saying kiss off on the petrodollar, kiss off on the Federal Reserve bills and all your treasuries, we're funneling everything in gold, that's going to massively destabilize our currency and devalue our currency significantly. Now, they may let that happen once they have enough essentially problems in the Middle East that they can bring up in enough war to bring in a new world order. But in my opinion, that's what a lot of this stuff is going to now, is to destabilize every currency, get as many wars on as many fronts going as much as possible, and that will in turn allow the destabilization of all the currencies to occur, and then the new world order can come in and say, we need a one world government, a one world currency. All this stuff is coming together there now, but I really wanted to touch base on that because I hadn't heard anything about China and India having a big firefight on the border there and scuffling for the last 2 weeks whatsoever on any news outlet except for Sputnik International now and Dave Hodges' report. So that's pretty significant. And again, like I said, CNN and all the mainstream of the United States, you guys know, all they want to talk about is the fake news on a regular basis. Nothing significant. It's all obfuscation of what's really going on. Also, too, the good old Vault 7 leaks from WikiLeaks. Talked about this repeatedly. Vault 7 were released back in March. There were a series of leaks from WikiLeaks that basically pulled CIA documents out and released it to the public for us to see. If you guys remember, I've talked about it repeatedly. The Weeping Angel was one of the biggest ones that bothered me the most, was a malware device that the CIA has created and used repeatedly that taps into smart TVs, primarily Samsung TVs, and allows them to record the conversations that are in the vicinity of the TV even when the TV is turned off. So it goes into off mode, but it's fake off mode, and it allows them to record every conversation in the area because of these smart TVs. Now they can go off the voice command. That's pretty creepy, and very, very, very much so. You should not have your Samsung TV plugged in at all if you're not using it. I tell people this all the time. Any smart TVs, I'm plugged in to the electrical junction in there. What's the name of it? I can't remember right now. Basically, prevent lightning strikes. Surge protector, that's what it is. And so I unplug the one main plug out of the wall, the surge protector at night, so it shuts down all the units after a couple seconds. That is something that is really, really important to do. Don't leave that stuff on. Don't leave your DVR on at night. Don't leave your Wi-Fi on at night. Don't leave your smart TV or any of that stuff on at night. All that stuff can be hacked. If there's open internet in the house, it can be hacked. If there's TVs, obviously, as you see with the CIA, it can be hacked. Shut all that stuff off at night. Doesn't need to be on. Plus, it doesn't allow you to sleep good. But anyways, back to the original story. The WikiLeaks today has released a new batch of CIA documents from the Vault 7 project showing ELSA, E-L-S-A, ELSA malware, which is being used by the U.S. intelligence services to collect geological data from Wi-Fi-enabled devices. This is just, it just keeps getting better with Vault 7, guys. It just, every month, it just keeps getting better. When you think the CIA hasn't figured out something else to spy on you about, it just gets better. So we got another one today. ELSA, which is a geolocation malware for Wi-Fi-enabled devices, which is like everything now has Wi-Fi on it, unless it's pretty old school. And any systems running on operating systems, for instance, Microsoft Windows. It is a device, ELSA, the device is connected to the internet. The malware automatically tries to use public geolocation databases from Google or Microsoft to resolve the position of the device and stores the longitude and latitude data along with the timestamp. Additional back-end software, again using public geolocation databases from Google and Microsoft, converts unprocessed access point information from exfiltrated log files to geolocation data to create a tracking profile of the target device, which does not have to be connected to the internet to continue collection of data. Now, you guys may not understand what I just said there, so I'm going to break it down, and we're going to go back, and I'm going to explain to you guys, if you missed that, what it does. ELSA is a malware device that they can put on any Wi-Fi-enabled product, phone, tablet, laptop, TV, doesn't matter. Primarily what they're using these for is tablets, laptops, and phones. It's malware that they put right into the system over the internet, and it uses your Wi-Fi signal, where it's coming from, to pinpoint you from a public geolocation database like Google. You know how Google has Google Maps? You flip it on your phone, it'll pinpoint right where you are on these smartphones now, right where you're at. It's using that to pinpoint your exact location and your timestamp of where you're using that Wi-Fi. Then when it, after that, that's not bad enough. So it's pinpointing you, monitoring everything you do with that internet usage right in that area, at that exact location with longitude and latitude. Then it goes in, an additional back-end software is converted to hold the information, so even if you're not connected to the internet, it can still collect data on you about where you're going, what you're doing, and where you're at, down to a longitude, latitude pinpoint, meaning they can track and monitor every single aspect of what you're doing with this malware device. Now, that may seem like, oh, well, we already know they do that. Of course, we already know they do that. But this is malware they're specifically using that even if you don't have internet access anymore on your phone, it still enables them to be able to track you on a regular basis. This goes back to the same thing I was just talking about with the smart lights that they're putting everywhere all around the country without any votes, without any type of approval from the citizens they're monitoring, that are actually have Bluetooth device acceptors in them that are going around, and when you walk past it, it picks up your Bluetooth blueprint when you're searching for Bluetooth, so it can monitor you right where you're walking. So even if your internet's off, even if your phone system is basically not working, the Bluetooth searching enabled device will pick up on these so they can say, oh, there was a gunshot fired at this light within 5 feet of here at 9:14 p.m. and John Smith's Bluetooth device was enabled and was directly the closest one to it, meaning this individual more than likely was the shooter. Go ahead and issue out a search warrant for him. He was the one that had to have been involved in it because we have the microphone and the camera recording that show him and the Bluetooth enabled showing him that he was doing that. This stuff just keeps getting more and more and more surveillance creepy. All the time, regular basis, it just goes to a whole nother level. This is why I've been warning everybody to be very, very wary of the technology that we're starting to use now. Be cautious. Be cognizant of what you're doing. If there's a situation that arises and you don't want to be tracked, I hate to tell you, you're not going to be able to be in a new vehicle with an OnStar. You're not going to be able to have a new phone with all the fancy gadgets and Google and Bluetooth and all that stuff on it. If something happens and you need to disappear, it needs to be in an older vehicle and you can't bring a cell phone with you. It's just sad as it is. And the problem is, this is all for our safety and protection, but yes, every time we turn around, they're using it against us to fine us more, tax us more, charge us with more crimes, and use it to monitor every aspect of our lives. That's why I talked about yesterday how we're having such a significant issue with cell phone accidents. It's because people are using their cell phones on a regular basis while they're driving. And you know how my grandma got hit and the girl was on her phone and she said she wasn't on her phone and she tried to sue our insurance company? It was a nightmare. But now what they're trying to say, because of those situations, that they're giving cops the devices to automatically plug into your phone and see exactly what you were doing on your phone if you get in any type of accident. And as I told you guys yesterday, that whole device, that whole technology, if they give the police the autonomy to use it, it is going to do nothing but snowball into a giant police state even further, where they're going to start demanding to see your phones on every single traffic stop, and at that point they'll have toll booths where they'll stop you and want to monitor your phone and issue citations. Just how it is in the UK, you literally can't go anywhere without getting some type of red light ticket or speeding camera ticket or some type of camera ticket. Dad jokes about it all the time, but I was with him in the car. You know, he ended up going and having a, you know, basically doing an illegal U-turn out in the middle of, like, nowhere. I'm in the middle of nowhere. I'm just like green fields, sheep. There's like nothing around us. Get back, drop the car off. We only had the car for like half a day. Oh, yeah. You got a illegal U-turn ticket right here. It's like £145. You need to pay that. He's like, I didn't pay that. They're like, oh, here's a camera photo right here. Here's your tag. Here's you driving. You need to go ahead and pay it. And this is where it's going. The UK is the most surveilled country in the world, and look how it's working out for them, guys. Everybody has to wake up and realize this surveillance state, this overreaching police state, this totalitarian monster that's growing right in front of us right now, it has nothing to do with our protection. They can't keep UK protected, even having over a million cameras in London. They can't do it. It's impossible, because the more you prevent the civilian population from taking care of themselves and protecting themselves with their God-given rights, like owning a firearm, all you do is give an open pass to these terrorists, to these unbelievably weirdo people that want to be involved in this type of stuff, like shooting people, running people over, knifing people, and you give the military, industrial complex, and the government the opportunity to pull off false flags with zero chance of any recourse, because they know the civilian population isn't armed. That's what happens in every single country that's disarmed. You can look it up. Every single country that has ever been disarmed by its government, genocide always occurs sooner or later in that country. Every time. Without fail. So it's something that everybody needs to be aware of, and that's why I'm such an adamant Second Amendment supporter. A lot of people always go, oh, well, you're always this about guns, you're always supporting Second Amendment, this and that. I know I am. The reason why is because it's the only teeth we have left to our constitutional rights. Once the Second Amendment dissipates and we no longer have the right to defend ourselves, it will completely go in the hole from there. And a fast landslide, quicker than you can say no, it will happen. We cannot ever allow ourselves to be disarmed for any reason whatsoever. That's why I brought up the hypocrisy earlier, the Supreme Court not willing to rule in favor of the constitutional rights of the man over there that just wanted to carry a firearm loaded, concealed on his person legally. They wouldn't even address it. They gave it back to the Ninth Circuit, which we know how those guys are, infested with liberals, who then said, no, you don't have the right to do that. That's the issue I have, guys. Also, too, in Dubai, as I was speaking of police state now, Dubai police yesterday unveiled another world's first autonomous self-driving miniature police cars that are expected to hit the streets by the year's end. You want to talk about totalitarian police state? Go to Dubai. They're on a whole nother level of surveillance as well with technology, because they have an endless supply of money to keep spending. The robotic vehicles will be equipped with biometric software. This will be facial recognition and eye retina scanners, and will scan for criminals and undesirables who are suspected or are breaking laws, meaning they're going to have basically police drone cars driving around, scanning everybody's biometrics to see if it matches any search warrants, anybody that has an outstanding parking ticket, anybody that's out on bond, anybody that is on parole, anybody that's been involved in anything that they seem to not be deemed fit or legal over there. It's going to immediately notify them, pinpoint where you're at, and basically call in police security team to come arrest you. It's about the size of a large child's electric toy car, the one you see right around. It's not very big at all. The driverless vehicle will patrol different areas of the city to so-called boost security and hunt for unusual activity all the time while scanning the crowd for potential persons of interest to police and known criminals. Again, guys, it's for your protection, as always. The new security system is so advanced that the mini vehicle even comes with its own drone, which can be launched via a rear sleeve. Both are monitored and linked to Dubai Police Command Center. They said if you can recognize people in any area and identify suspicious objects and can track subjects, it has a drone and it will be deployed at tourist destinations in Dubai as well. So I'm going to repeat that what it just said here. It said it can recognize people in any area and identify suspicious objects and track suspicious people. It will also be deployed at tourist destinations in Dubai. This is where it's headed, guys. They're doing everything they can to bring in the AI, to bring in the AI police state. That way they can keep the police force as strong and as powerful as possible and use this AI to monitor us 24/7, 365. See, law enforcement misses things. They may be sleepy. They may not see an individual that's swerving. They may turn around the corner right when somebody's running and they don't see them, and it could be somebody that's somebody that's been involved in a murder, for example, with anything. With these guys now, when they deploy a fleet of autonomous vehicles with full 360 biometric scanners that roam around and literally hit everybody's facial recognition and picks up on every aspect, then what they can do is they can use the SWAT teams and the police forces to deploy out and arrest these individuals immediately without any type of manpower being basically expelled. And this is something that's pretty wild. I mean, this is the future. This is where it's going. Whether you want to or not, this is where it's headed. And this is what the globalists want. They want to be able to monitor anything and everything you do on a regular basis. It's just part of it. That's where they're at with it. So everybody has to realize that we have to stand strong as much as possible. We don't get to vote on this stuff, which really bothers me. You know, in a republic, which is supposedly what we are, we're supposed to be able to have rights. We're supposed to have our voices heard. We're supposed to be able to vote. We're supposed to elect people that are going to vote in choice of the people, for the people, by the people. That's what this is all about. And as I said before, when we have stuff like lights that are recording and videotaping us and have Bluetooth sensors on it, and they're monitoring you while you walk around the street and listening to your intimate conversations with your wife as you walk down a sidewalk, that really bothers me. You know, it really does. Then you have the CIA building malware that listens to you in your own home via your Samsung television when you think it's off. All this stuff is not okay, but they're trying to make it okay, and now it's getting out in the public. And the more that people accept it, the more that people just go, I don't do anything wrong anyway, so it shouldn't matter regardless. And then they just go on their way and don't say anything about it. That's why we're here. That's why I do this show every single day, Monday through Friday, because I want to wake people up. I want to make people say, that's not cool. I'm not okay with that. That's not what we should have in a constitutional republic. This is not what we are supposed to have in America. When you start having streetlights put up in your town with zero vote, without zero committee, without zero council coming in and being able to say, okay, what's your vote on this, yay or nay? When they're doing that just because they want to do a contract with another company like GE Electric and install these things without knowing them and then don't even want to put signs up to say, you're being recorded by the lights. And that's the thing, if they're going to do it, they doggone need to be putting some signs up, just like they had to mandate with the red light cameras, which are unbelievably unconstitutional. Don't even get started on those. But they mandated, they had to put lights up to say, this is a photo enforced red light camera. It takes red light cameras, and it gives you a ticket. They got big signs up everywhere. Why don't they have to do that with these lights? They need to put them up in parks, sidewalks. The lights are listening to you and recording you. Beware. But see, they don't want to do that because then people are going to be like, I don't want to be recorded. I don't want the lights recording me. They're doing it under the cloak of secrecy so nobody knows anything about it. Same thing with all this stuff, with the seatbelt laws I've talked about in Florida so many times. They sit there and say, well, we're going to go ahead and allow people over the age of 21 to not wear helmets on motorcycles, which I've rode motocross since I was 5 years old. At 16 years of age, I transferred from motocross to street bikes, and I've ridden street bikes ever since then. I sold my last motorcycle last year because I basically had Hunter, and I decided driving, you know, a 9-second liter bike, you know, a 1,000 CBR was not something that was conducive to being a healthy father. And so I got rid of them. But they said, oh, it's okay. You don't have to wear helmets on those in the state of Florida if you're over 21 because they don't want to hurt tourism because we have Daytona down here and people don't like to wear helmets. I got that. I really don't care. If you don't want to wear a helmet, I really don't care if you don't want to wear a helmet. It's your right. If you feel like you're going to be okay hitting the asphalt at 80 miles an hour without a helmet on, I have bad news for you, but if you want to do that, that's your right. I always used to wear a helmet when I used to ride. But then they want to turn around and say, but you don't have the right not to wear your seatbelt. We're going to fine you and penalize you for not wearing your seatbelt. It had nothing to do with protection of the people. It had nothing to do with lowering health care costs in Florida. It had nothing to do with helping with accident fatalities. It was all about another way to bring in revenue. They found that basically trying to ticket people for helmets, all it did was decrease tourism, hacked people off, completely caught up the judicial system and the court system with people fighting these tickets because they didn't want to wear a helmet. So finally the state of Florida said, you don't have to wear a helmet, forget about it, don't worry about it, you don't have to. But yet we still have to pay seatbelt tickets on a regular basis down here in Florida for not, that is your first penalty. They don't even have to have another reason to pull you over. They can see you with your windows down and say, you're not wearing a ticket, we're pulling you over, we're giving you a $120 ticket now for not wearing your seatbelt. It has nothing to do with protection. That's why I brought the same thing with the FDA before. They want to sit there and make all these things illegal and felonies to possess, but yet they give 5- and 6-year-olds Schedule II Adderall compounds, which are amphetamine salts, almost identical to cocaine. They don't care about your health. It has nothing to do with that. Also, too, I talked about this about a week ago. I wanted to touch base on it because I wasn't sure if it was accurate or not. I knew Wendy's was doing it, but yes, McDonald's, I can't stand them, don't eat their foods, garbage food. I don't recommend anybody ever touch their food. Same thing with Taco Bell. It's all garbage. The only fast food company I've ever eaten with in a recent basis is Chipotle's, and I'm not a huge fan of some of the stuff they're about. I had been told before that they don't allow open carry in some of their stores, that they basically mandated that. However, I've not seen any signs on their stores, at least locally, that's mandated open carry or concealed carry to be illegal. I asked one of the managers in the Lakeland one last week, and he basically told me he had no idea what he was talking about. He's like, if you have a license to carry a gun legally, I don't see what the issue is. So that was good enough for me. So I still eat there occasionally whenever I want to get in the, you know, kind of an outside meal, but I know it's still a clean meal because they're pretty much everything's non-GMO. But yes, it looks like McDonald's is replacing 2,500 human cashiers with digital kiosks now by the end of 2017. They want to replace another 3,000 by the end of 2018. So that would be basically a total of 5,500 jobs that will basically disappear because they're putting in kiosks, and they will be more efficient and easier for people to use, supposedly. And they will eventually cut down on costs. That's the issue that I've told people before. With this whole $15 an hour mandate, is it reaches a point when you start demanding as a cashier that you want $30,000+ a year to run a cash register, paying for a $15,000-$20,000 kiosk that basically is a one-time purchase and you can depreciate it over the next 3 years and then it's paid for. Man, that doesn't look like a bad deal anymore. Hence why McDonald's is about to swap out 5,500 cashiers with kiosks by the end of the year. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to start adding numbers together to realize what's the better factor to do. And I talked about yesterday how Seattle actually hurt themselves with their lower income employees with their $15 mandate because a lot of them are getting less hours now and their take home pay is actually like 9% less than it was last year before it was mandated on average. So kind of sad, but it's just, it is what it is. That's what happens when you start mandating that you have to pay somebody a minimum amount. That's a very high amount, in my opinion, for a basic job. There is no cap on the market. There is no maximum on how much money you can make every year. You put your own number on it. You figure out what you're worth and what you bring to the marketplace, and then allow the marketplace to determine it and see if you're in the right standings with it. But demanding you deserve a certain amount because you do a basic job, if it can be replaced with a kiosk, it's not that advanced of a job, and obviously McDonald's finds it's cheaper to do so with a kiosk than it is to keep cashiers. It's sad because I don't want 5,500 people to be unemployed by the next year simply because of kiosk, but this is the route we're going with the digital age, guys, so be prepared with it. And also, too, we appreciate all the support with the emails. Got a lot of emails again today. Dad hasn't really been answering many of them. He's done a few, but I'm doing most of them. So thank you for being patient. If I don't get back to you for the first couple days, thank you for being patient with that. Also, too, a lot of people have voted on it because it was pretty much a huge product vote this year, or not this year, this week, was the Ultimate Multiple Chewable. This was something that we've had a huge, huge request for, is a Ultimate Multiple in a really good tasting chewable tablet. We've had the Yummy Bears, which we still carry them. The problem is the Yummy Bears, they would not change over to the methylcobalamin B12 for us. I've requested it, and they refused to do so. So we decided we were going to build our own multiple. It's about 3 times the strength, and we were going to use methylcobalamin in it. So It's $38.99 regular price on it. It's a little bit more than the Yummy Bears. However, the Yummy Bears have 90 chewables. These RS have 120. And if you look as far as nutrient for nutrient, R per tablet is much, much higher, really making the cost effectiveness much better. But that being said, you guys voted on it by a landslide today, and it won. So we put it on sale for over 10% off, and so it's on sale for $34.97. We got a lot of them in stock for you guys. It's been a great selling product so far. The demand for it's been huge. It's a really good tasting product. I've even actually been giving Hunter, he's 14 months old. Now you guys have to decide what you want to do with this, because technically under 2 years of age aren't supposed to eat them. I got that. Because if it's a choking hazard. So you have to use that and make your own choice from a parental standpoint. But with Hunter, I'll usually break them into about a quarter to an eighth of a tablet, and I'll let him chew on it. And because he's getting teeth down, he can suck on it. And that way it's not big enough of a piece to where if he does swallow it whole, it doesn't choke him at all. But again, that's my choice as a parent. You have to make your own. On the bottle, we say don't give them to anybody under the age of two. But quite frankly, they're pretty easy. And if you even have to, you can grind them up in powder, and you can put them in coconut milk or organic goat's milk or water or whatever you want to put in, or even in a protein shake. Very versatile product. You don't have to swallow it. A lot of people don't like swallowing pills. With this product, you can throw a couple in and chew on them. They taste a lot like the original Sweet Tarts, except they're really, really good for you. They don't have any sugar in them. We use monk fruit, which is incredible stuff, and they taste really good, I think. The formulation took a while to get down, but it turned out really, really awesome. So check it out on the website right there, Ultimate Multiple Chewable, on sale for the whole next week. Definitely give it a shot. I think you guys are going to love that product. Also, too, if you guys need anything, email us, call us. We still have the Alpha Male Stack on sale. We got a whole new batch of fresh Tribulus in. That product's a very, very good workout protocol. I put that together with Dad last month. It contains the Tribulus Fuel, the Dimension, which helps keep estrogen under control, the HGH Stimulate, which is really good for muscle pumps, also helps to burn body fat and increase natural growth hormone production, the zinc, which is great for the immune system and testosterone production, and the E, which is also very good for cholesterol and testosterone production and heart and brain health. This mixed tocopherol vitamin E, really advanced vitamin E. Best one on the market that I've ever compared it to. So that's also on sale, I think, for like over 15% off for that whole kit. So that's still on sale if you guys want to check that out. And the Basic Healthy Lifestyle is always on sale. We put that together for you guys because that's a huge demand for that product. And that's our multiple, our B, our C, our Norwegian Omega 3, and our D3. If you guys have any specific kits you want to see us put together, email it to me, please. Go in the top search bar and type in the word contact and send it to me. I'm not going to build a kit for every single email I get because that's not going to be feasible. But if I have a kit or a group of products that I get multiple requests on from multiple different individuals, I will definitely consider putting that together and putting a kit together on sale. So feel free to hit me up on the contact on healthmasters.com. Sign up for the free weekly newsletter. If you have any questions, call us 1-800-726-1834. Healthmasters.com is our website. And again, thank you for all the supporters for our radio show support donations. We really, really appreciate them. It's keeping us going on the show. We're totally self-funded. No sponsors. Healthmasters.com is the primary sponsor, but that is us. That's our company. So that's all we are. That's what we do. So we appreciate the support, guys. You have a blessed, safe night, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.